Mrs. Lemon, and thank you, church, for once again being here. It's my privilege to introduce to you our guest for the entire week, not just for our vacation Bible school, but I asked Pastor Kagan to come and speak to our congregation tonight, and hopefully our Spanish minister will be here in a moment, but we've got to get moving because Brother Kagan's got to preach again here in just a moment. And Pastor Chuck Kagan pastors the Grace Baptist Church in Harrisonville, Missouri. Now, if you want to know where Harrisonville is, it's about 45 miles southeast or west. Oh, just directly south of Kansas City. So that's where his church is located. He'll kind of let you know a little bit about that maybe and how long he's been there. But he's done a great, great job with our VBS this week. And I've asked him to come and speak to us tonight. And what he's going to do, he's going to speak, and then when it's time, he's going to depart over here, and we'll finish up in prayer and give him plenty of time to get over and get prepared for the final service of today for our vacation Bible school. So, Brother Kagan, you come, and God bless you, my brother, and thank you for being at Trinity Baptist Church.
Thank you, brother. What an honor to be here. Greetings from the wonderful land of Harrisonville, Missouri. I found out it's about 78 degrees where I come from tonight. How do you guys exist down here? This is crazy. This is the way it is, though, isn't it? Hallelujah. Well, I've been blessed and honored to be asked to come and to work the Vacation Bible School last year and this year. What a tremendous honor, and I just enjoy it. I really love Brother Ricky. He's a great man. And your pastor is a tremendous man of God. I sure love him. Been so gracious and kind and generous with us. And I just feel so, so blessed. Well, I brought a friend with me tonight just in case you wonder kind of what goes on around over there. And just give you a little taste. We've got a construction theme going over there called Building Lives for God. And this is my trusty old puppet. Ow! Ow! Named Homer. Ow! Oh, that watch is killing me. Yeah, I can imagine. All right. He gets a sore throat every time I wear my watch. Yeah, that's for sure. Well, greetings, everybody. I'm here to tell you that I'm kind of like that firefly who backed up into the fan. I am delighted to be here. Boy, your helmet's falling off. Now I can't see. Hey, we need to fix that. Let's see if we can get you going here. Amen. Well, Homer here has been my puppet down through the years, and I normally just preach a week or two at camps here and there, and I just enjoy children. I just enjoy having lots of fun, and so you all have allowed me to do that this week. I have a dual personality. I'm an adult and very dignified pastor, and then I turn crazy and become a young person again. Yeah, you kind of remind me about what the eyeball said to the other eyeball. Oh, really? What did one eyeball say to the other eyeball? There's something between us that smells. Yeah, I guess I do remind you of that, don't I? Hallelujah. Can I ask you, Pastor, what did the baby corn say to the mama corn? Let me guess. Where's my popcorn? How'd you know? I read the script, son. Oh, that's terrible. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor, I enjoy telling rather morbid jokes, kind of like, what do you do when your nose goes on strike? You pick it. That's true. Amen. What did the mama broom and the papa broom say to their baby? Would you please go to sweep? That's pretty good. That's pretty good. You're getting better. I'm learning. It's taken me a while, Pastor. Well, your little shield here is kind of falling apart, but you're all right. Yeah, I'm pretty good, but I'm best at poetry, Pastor. You're best at poetry? That is right. Hickory dickory dock. The mice ran up the clock. The clock struck one,
and the others escaped with minor injuries.
That isn't the way I learned it.
That's the way I learned it. Oh, wow. Roses are red. Violets are blue. I love me. Now, why don't you?
All right, one last poem, and you got to go, because I got to get to work.
All right. Mary had a little lamb, and she tied him to a heater. And every time he turns around, he burns his little cedar.
Okay, we better get rid of you, buddy. All right. All right. Hallelujah. Well, take those Bibles, would you please, and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. On Wednesday nights around our place, we have Bible study, and then we have prayer meeting, and I think that's pretty much what you all do. I love to study my Bible. How about you? And so that's a little bit different than some services we may have, but I love studying the Word of God. The book of 1 Thessalonians is what we've been studying the last few weeks, and I love this book. Now, the Apostle Paul founded the Thessalonican church, and he founded many churches in his lifetime. Through his three missionary journeys, the Apostle Paul established many churches, but none was quite as a delight unto him as the Thessalonian church. He loved the Thessalonian church. In fact, you can see his comment about that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look at verse 7 and 8. Says, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to impart unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us." I'm glad you all stood up there. That's fine. This is just the introduction, but it's good stuff. Amen. It's the Bible. Paul loved this church. He delighted in it. Have I got this microphone too close to my mouth? Okay, I'm hearing a little bit of pop back and forth here, and I don't want to blow somebody's ears out. But anyways, you can read about this fabulous church's starting and its beginning when you turn to Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 10. You don't need to turn there right now, but you can read about how the Thessalonian church was begun. A tremendous testimony of the saving grace and power of our gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. And if there ever was a record set for church planting, the Thessalonican church would be up there around the first place realm. Why? Well, because it says that Paul went to the synagogue and there for three Sabbath days reasoned among the Jews. And after 3 weeks, the unbelieving Jews had had enough. They raised up crooked, lewd, and ungodly men to raise up a riot in town. They tried to get a hold of Paul but couldn't get a hold of him. They went down and got Jason, one of the converts, and they were about to have him judged and dealt with. But they quickly sent Paul out of town. Paul escaped, went to Berea, where he found some very noble people, some noble Jews who studied the Word of God and to see if these things were so. And that's great. But then he moved right on down to Athens. And there he experienced one of the most heart-wrenching things of people stuck in religion. And there he reasoned with them on Mars Hill. But then he quickly went to Corinth, where he settled in for about 3.5 years. And from Corinth, he quickly wrote his first epistle. And that first epistle is to the Thessalonians. An amazing thing, isn't it? He wrote to that church because why? Well, because he only had 3 weeks to work with them. And folks, within that 3 weeks, he was able to train, disciple, and establish leadership. And folks, that church wasn't only just functioning, it was flourishing. In 3 weeks. Hallelujah. Oh, to God that could happen today. But this was a mighty church. And I'm going to preach to you tonight briefly the marks of a mighty church. And we're just going to look at the first chapter there in verses 5 through 10 there. And I believe we can just read out loud together, starting in verse 5. Ready? "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." Now, church family, feel free to read out loud with me on verse 6. "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Well, church family, remember, in this passage we have marks of a mighty church, but we're not just talking as a church as a group, because a church is a group of individuals. In order to have a mighty church, we've got to have some mighty believers, individuals who make the difference. And so my challenge to you tonight is on an individual basis. But when you individually follow through what I share with you, you will find God puts together a mighty church. The marks of a mighty church. Let's pray one more time, and then I'll let you be seated. Now, precious Father in heaven, we're honored to be able to open up the bread of life, the Word of God. Thank you, Father, that you have not only preserved us the Word, but you have given us the Spirit of God to understand it. And this is wonderful. For those of us who are saved in this room, Lord, we can grasp what you're saying because the Spirit gives witness. Now I pray, sweet Spirit of God, you'd have liberty in our hearts. I'm praying, Father, that every person in this room would listen to your voice. As I speak on the outside, Holy Spirit, you speak on the inside. And we'll praise you for the eternal work that you do in our lives tonight. In Jesus' name we ask you and thank you in advance for it. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I've been saved 36 years, was saved at Open Door Baptist Church in Kansas City, Kansas, back in 1975. The Lord allowed me immediately to begin growing in grace, and within 6 months I enrolled in the Bible college that was started there in that local church, and within 4 years of that I was graduating from Bible college and immediately began seeking to be in the pastorate, as I believe God had called me to pastor. And what a joyous experience I've had these years. I can testify to you, there's nothing like being saved. And there's nothing like serving the Lord. I have been on both sides of the fence. And I'm here to tell you, one day with the Lord beats 1,000 days with the devil. I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm so glad God called me and He's placed me in His work. The Thessalonian believers experienced a miraculous touch from God. In my years of being saved, I've seen churches just touched of God, just has the breath of God upon them. I call those churches mighty churches. They may have 100 people, they may have 10,000 people. But whatever be the case, The marks of a mighty church come down to the individuals that are within that assembly. And I'm going to give you three things here briefly of what these marks are. There are many more marks to a great church and a mighty church, but these are three right here in this passage I'm going to lift out. The first mark is they are a glowing church. I said glowing, like a light bulb, glowing church. Verses 6 and 7, it says, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction." Then notice this next phrase, "with joy of the Holy Ghost." Now, folks, these people were getting in trouble for getting saved. I imagine some of them got saved and their boss found out, and their boss fired them. They had joy. I imagine their landlord found out that they got saved and believed in this Jesus fellow, and they got evicted. I imagine many of these believers got saved, and their aunts and their uncles, grandpas and grandmas, disowned them. We're talking much affliction. Now, that's a hard thing, and I wouldn't wish that on anybody. But, folks, this passage tells us they did it with joy. How do you do that? Well, it's only by the power of the Holy Ghost. It's only by the transforming power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you look at the trials and afflictions of life and say, "I count it joy to suffer for my Savior just a little bit"? What a testimony that with joy they experienced their trials. That word joy means radiant enthusiasm. I love what 1 Peter calls it. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8 says, "With joy unspeakable and full of glory." Now think about that for a while. Joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. We're talking radiant enthusiasm, not because of the happenings that are good and you know, they got a pay raise or they bought a new house or they got a new this or that. No. We're talking about an inward joy that can only come from the Holy Ghost within and having a right relationship with God, not only knowing where you're going, but knowing who dwells within and is going to take good care of you no matter what. Woo, it's good to be saved. No, it's great to be saved. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Can I ask you, are you thrilled about Jesus tonight? A mighty church, a mark of a mighty church, is they're just lip-smacking crazy in love with Jesus. Woo, it's just wonderful to be saved. Now, folks, we get thrilled and excited about our sports teams. I mean, we can stand up and shout, almost come up out of the stadium there, screaming our tonsils out. And we get thrilled and excited about a new Android 4G super duper phone. And we can get thrilled about, you know, all these possessions this world offers. But are you thrilled about Jesus tonight? Thrilled about the fact that you're forgiven? God has saved a mess like you and made you His own child, adopted you into His family, called you to Himself, gave you a place in heaven. He's calling you home soon. Man, there's lots to be excited about being a Christian. Are you thrilled about Jesus? This was a glowing church. Now, notice it says there in verse 7, "So that ye are ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia." I've underlined and highlighted that word ensamples. And that's the same word that we would use for examples. But the point it is means that these people had a notable testimony that proved the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. I ask you tonight, are you a glowing Christian? Glowing. That means your heart must be right with God. That means you must be in fellowship with Him. That means you're drawing on a source that does not come from the circumstances of this life. You're receiving from heaven a supernatural enthusiasm because you're one of the King's kids. Amen. It's great to be saved. It was a glowing church. Number two, It was a going church. Going. Yeah, look at verse 8. It says, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord." Now underline that phrase, sounded out, if you like to underline in your Bible. Sounded out is comes from a root word that means that the, like a trumpet blowing a blast. It echoed with reverberation. It sounded out. What sounded out? The word of the Lord. Well, friends, how does the word of the Lord sound out back in 56 A.D.? I know they probably tweeted it. Maybe they texted it. No, I doubt that. Maybe they got it on the internet. No. No, friend, it can only come from one place for it to sound out like that. And that was coming right out of here of a redeemed, blood-washed child of God's mouth. Amen. Word of mouth is how it spread. It sounded out. They were a going church. Now, they didn't just get in the church house and sound it out to one another in the church house. Oh, no, friend. They got out. They were a going church. So much so, it says there, the word of the Lord sounded out not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad. How did that happen? You say they must have mailed everybody gospel tracts. That's a good thing to do, those things, folks. And I'm not putting that down, but I'm saying they didn't have the stuff we've got today to get the news out that Jesus saves sinners. And somehow it spread out. And they were not shut down, put down, cooled down by anybody. They sounded it out that they were a child of God and how a person becomes a child of God. So much so, the Apostle Paul said, "We need not speak anything." He comes to town and he says, "We heard about those people in Thessalonica. Man, this Jesus is real, isn't he?" Yeah, he's risen from the dead and he changes you from the inside out. He is glorious to behold. Oh, don't you want to come to know him tonight? Oh, don't you want to have him? And I'm sure as Paul would go around and try to lead folks to Christ and he'd hear about people had already witnessed in this town who'd come from Thessalonica. Isn't that amazing? I mean, this is the mark of a mighty church. A mighty church is a glowing church. A mighty church is a going church. Hallelujah. I love it. I love a church that goes soul winning. Pastor, I appreciate you having them soul winning classes and them training. And I guess it's last week or a week or so ago you had this week-long marathon thing. Excellent. Wonderful. Thank God for your pastor encouraging you to be out there soul winning and equipping you with the tools and the training that you need to be effective at it. Hallelujah, that's wonderful. As I've gone out to eat here the last few weeks, or last few days, excuse me, Brother Ricky's son, Mikey. You know, the waiter comes up and we're getting ready to leave. I'm reaching up here in my pocket, getting ready to... Too late. Ricky done beat me to it. Ricky's done witness to the guy and invited him to church. And you know, you'd think he'd get ahead of the guy, but I tell you what, Mikey is excited about Jesus. He's excited about his church. That's a mighty church right there. People who just have that enthusiasm and that excitement. And you know, we didn't have one person give us they didn't give us the brush off at all. They said, "Well, thank you very much, young man." And I only was grumbling under my breath because I was saying, "He beat me to it." Amen. Hallelujah. A mighty church is a glowing church. A mighty church is a growing church. And then let me say, number three, a mighty church is a growing church. Growing. Now, don't get tripped up with this three-point outline, all right? It's glowing, going, and growing. Amen. But look there at verse 9. What I mean about growing, I'm talking about growing personally. I'm talking about overcoming those things that used to bind us and blind us. I'm talking about getting victory over those old habits and those old ways and those old idols and those old strongholds that used to keep us I'm talking about growing and overcoming. Are you an overcomer? Does God give you grace to get the victory over sin in your life? That's a key to being a growing Christian. Verse 9 says, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. How ye," notice this, "turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." That is a powerful phrase. That is so beautiful, showing how that when a person's truly saved, they turn from the old life and turn to the new in Jesus Christ. They turn from those things that once bound them. They understand those things are their enemies. They're not their friend anymore. It grieves my heart when folks want to say, "I want Jesus, but I want my sin too." That doesn't work, friend. The Bible teaches here these people turn from their sin and turn to God, the true and the living God. Hallelujah. How do you measure growing in your Christian life? Are you overcoming some things that a year ago you were struggling with? Let me just cover a few areas. How about corrupt language? You overcoming that? When God saved me, I don't understand it, folks, but God completely took the cursing tongue out of my mouth. That was an instant victory. I can't explain that. That's a supernatural thing. Hallelujah. Now, there's a bunch of other things that hung around, and there were a battle. And I'm saying, wow, God changed that. And there's no explanation except the Holy Spirit gave me instant victory in that area. Other areas I've had to battle with and struggle with and grow in, but I am overcoming my old way of life. The old man is getting crucified daily. I'm putting on the new man every day, and it's a wonderful thing to watch those old habits pass away, especially in the area of language. Now, this thing of corrupt language could be in the realm of complaining. You don't ever get negative around here in Texas. It's all positive, isn't it? It's beautiful. Amen. And my wife actually says she enjoys this kind of heat. This kind of heat is, it's not humid like up in Missouri. I said, well, good. She's just trying to be positive, okay, folks? Just trying to be positive. Amen. Amen. And you know what? We can mumble and grumble and absolutely grieve the Holy Spirit. You say, "Pastor, if you only knew all the bad things." I don't need to know all the bad things that happen. I want you to know how many good things are happening. God's looking down from heaven. He's loving on you. Holy Spirit is praying for you. Lord Jesus is interceding for you. You've got a home in heaven, friend. You've got it all going for you. He's given you the Bible to search out. Man, order your speech aright. Set a watch over your lips. Make sure you say positive and encouraging things. Now, I know there's times, especially with parents, to be very firm and corrective. I understand that. But there's no room for the mumbly grumblies in the Christian life. It really isn't. Make yourself find things to praise the Lord about. We used to have a little game in our car when we'd take my girls on a trip or something, and we'd get in the car and somebody would say, "I'm hot." I'd say, "All right, you got five good things you need to say now that are positive. You may begin now. I'm thankful for my parents. I'm thankful for the road." Yeah, they come up with five things, but it sounds a lot better than nah. Amen? Corrupt language. Are you complaining? Are you cursing? Are you lying? Are you deceiving with your tongue? Did you used to do that, but God's given you the victory? Then you're growing. If you're still struggling with the same things you were struggling with last year, you're not growing. A mighty church is full of people who are growing. And folks, look around. Every one of us have got room to grow. There's not a perfect one in the bunch. Now, my wife's pretty close, but nobody else even gets close to her. Amen. She's a good one now.
But I'm saying, are you using corrupt language? Are you having worldly priorities? Last year, were you still being held fast by the pleasures of this world, the priorities of this world, the possessions of this world, the popularity of this world? Matthew 6 and verse 33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You see, a Christian's on a whole different wavelength, brothers and sisters. Our priority in life is not self-centered. It's Christ-centered. And when we enjoy the fact of putting Christ on the throne of our life and lifting Him up and serving Him and loving Him and living for Him, my dear brother and sister, we get to enjoy the freedom of the victorious Christian life. But oh man, when you start focusing on you, and oh man, how the world owes you this, and man, you need that, and gotta have this, and gotta have that, down goes the old joy level. Why? Because you're kicking Jesus off the throne and you're putting you back on the throne. Let's keep Jesus on the throne. Hallelujah. Well, I've got to hurry here. I'll finish off with this last verse 10 here. They were a glowing church. They were a growing church. They were a going church. But notice, they were expecting Jesus at any time. Oh, that's exciting, folks. Look at verse 10. And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. His Son is coming from heaven. I thank the Lord I'm an American here tonight. I would think nothing would be better to transfer my citizenship from America to heaven. America's having some real troubles right now. We need to pray for our nation. Pray for our nation. But I'm here to tell you, our citizenship already is in heaven if you're a born-again saint of God. And any moment that trumpet could sound, that angel could shout, "Come up hither!" And it's all over. It's done. And there in the presence of the Lord, I've tried to figure out, brother, what's going to be the first word most folks are going to say when they get to heaven? And I think it's going to be, wow. 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 Get goosebumps on that for a little bit, all right? Think about that. We're going to be so glad Jesus bled and died for us, rose from the dead, and came back for us. Oh, we're going to be so glad somebody came and shared with us the truth that we could have salvation full and free in Christ. I'm so glad somebody told me. And I'm so glad my Savior's coming real soon. It could happen in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, it could happen in a moment. He will break the eastern sky. I love to think about my Savior coming back. Man, that'll help you have a good day. Because you can be walking down the street and somebody honked their horn over there across the street. And you think, well, almost, I thought that was it. Amen. Kind of give the Lord a shove there. Amen. You know. Amen. Well, it's been such a delight to be with you folks, and do pray for us over here across the way. We long to reach young people of every age and bring them to faith in Christ. God bless you all for having the Vacation Bible School Ministry, and thank you for having us here. I'm going to challenge you, though, and ask you, are you glowing? Are you going? Are you growing? Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I'm going to let Pastor come and finish this any way he sees fit. Search your heart, friend.